This is Dirt and Sprague.
You know how fast you were going?
What?
How fast you were going?
65.
63.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
You got to understand that I don't come up with this stuff. I just forward it along. You wouldn't arrest a guy who's just delivering drugs from one guy to another.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Oh, yeah, you can milk anything with nipples.
I have nipples, Greg. Could you milk me?
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader. 1080 The Fan. 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app. Live on YouTube.
Oh, my God. When I'm talking, you're not talking.
Okay, when I'm talking, you're not talking. Hope your days are off to a great start. Hope you're ready to beat the heat today. Setting records, baby. Doing something
outside.
What
are we predicting? 74, 75, 76? Where are we at?
I think we're higher than... I think we might be 70, 76, 77? Am I going too extreme there? God, it's going to feel amazing today. It is remarkable the impact a sunny, warm day this time of year has on my overall mood.
It doesn't take much for us in this part of the globe.
Yesterday was hot, like legitimately hot.
Yesterday
for me.
Was muggy, yeah. I had the sliding glass door open.
It's just like, the doors were open, windows were open, like fans are gone. It felt great. I am, according to KGW, who is my trusted weather team.
You go with the Zafro?
They're saying 78.
Woo!
78 degrees today. Buddy, it's going to be incredible.
Shirt
Can't
sleeve,
wait.
I'm sure. We're going to have to turn the AC on.
Turn the AC on today. I think you might have to tonight for a little Beaver baseball out in Hillsboro. We'll get to the mail sack coming up in 10 minutes. Get your questions in 503-864-6326. Some good ones rolling in. We'll answer them coming up in 10 minutes. We did a segment, maybe a week or two ago. I can't remember. It's all a blur for me at this point. But there was a comment made by my guy, Deion Sanders. My favorite college.
Did you decide
football
on a sweatshirt or sunglasses yet?
I'm gonna go sunglasses. I can't do the sweatshirt. I can't do it. I don't care how expensive the sunglasses are.
I actually think the sunglasses on you might look douchier than the sweatshirt.
You think so? I mean, look, I can't pull that off. Maybe if I go mullet. If I had a mullet, would it be a better look?
Then it'd be eastbound and down, like all the way.
So he went on this rant going into spring practice. Everybody's canceling. All these pansies are canceling spring games because they're so scared. Steal our players. So Deion said, I don't want to do that. How about instead of canceling the spring game, why don't we go play somebody else, right? Well, and then Fran Brown, who has also quickly become one of my favorite coaches in the country. If you remember Fran Brown, he's the head coach at Syracuse.
Yeah, he has to win to earn a shower
he
and
has
clean
to win
and soap.
In order to get soap. And we talked about this last year on the show. We played the audio every time they'd play a game, and he'd get a win, and the on-field reporter would say, hey, Fran, you got to go take a shower now? And he'd say, yes. His wife would get upset with him. He'd lose two or three games in a row.
If they're not marketing Fran Brown soap on a rope up in Syracuse.
Needs to be, right? Yeah. What are we doing? So he jumped in and was like, hey, man, we'll come play you. Let's figure this out. Well, for those who are wondering, it is against NCAA bylaws for teams to hold practices and exhibition games against each other. Now, what control does the NCAA have over anything anymore? I don't know. It feels like we got a whole new governing body.
Like, what are you going to do to us?
And that's essentially what they're doing. So Colorado and Syracuse filed the paperwork with the NCAA to say, listen, we're going to do this. So here's our paperwork. Yeah. They're going to have a hearing. I believe the hearing is on April 10th. And I would be pretty stunned, even with how incompetent the NCAA is, and that's saying something, that with this momentum train rolling, that they would get in the way of it and say, no, we don't want to allow this to happen.
Well, especially if you're going to get a TV network involved and like put it on TV.
It's going to be on TV.
What can they do to you?
Dude, I would watch every second of this game. I know I have a problem, but I would watch every second
fine?
Of this game.
Is there a fine we have to pay? Okay, let's make that part of the TV deal.
Yeah, sure.
There
the TV
go,
money
network.
That ESPN or Fox is going to give us for
let's
this.
Let's cover the $1 million fine
We're
and
good.
Move on. Yeah, we got it.
It's just, we had a listener text us in yesterday as we were kind of teasing, talking about this today. And basically said, I just can't wait for, and now some people have done this, to be honest, but for more and more schools, universities and all that, just to be like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're fine. We're not going to pay you. What, are you going to punish us? We're not going to listen to you. Like, you have no teeth. You have no authority anymore. The cat's out of the bag. This is amateur athletics, no longer amateur athletics. It's semi-pro athletics. Guys are getting paid. You have no authority anymore. You can't tell us what to do. Colorado spring game is scheduled for April 19th in Boulder. So that's the date for their spring game. They're going to have this hearing on the 10th. Bit of a tight window there. So I'm really curious to see how it all plays out. But it does seem like there's a lot of genuine momentum that this might actually happen. Fran Brown, for those of you who have not listened to much of his press conferences or heard much of Fran Brown, he is genuinely one of my favorite people in sports. So go like his introductory press conference at Syracuse, he's done a remarkable job there. But he was just ranting, you know, and talking about this. He's got a little bit of a spotlight on him. And he was going in depth on how he's forcing every single one of his players, because now that they're making NIL money, and Syracuse isn't the richest school, but they certainly have money to spend.
Football. If you're playing D1 big time football, money. There's some money floating around.
You're making some money. He makes every single one of his guys mandatory in the spring take a financial literacy course.
There you go.
It's just like we have to do this. We have to make sure these guys are set. They're making money early in their careers, early in their lives.
They need to understand tax ramifications now.
Yes.
It's like it's not just all going into your pocket. Understand agency relationships. What are we doing?
It's not like it used to be when you'd get a McDonald's bag with $50,000 in cash in it.
If it's above board and above the table and everybody knows about
Uncle Sam says, give me a piece.
Uncle Sam knows about it too.
Right, exactly. And so a lot of the stuff that he's doing, the financial literacy stuff, I'm a huge fan of and huge proponent of. He went on and said, you know, to be the first two schools to do this would mean a lot to African-American men too, to have the opportunity to do that. It means a lot, especially with Deion being such an icon. And I enjoy spring football mainly just because I love college football. It is my favorite sport. The older I've gotten, the more I've realized that. It is my number one sport that I like. If you gave me one sport, you say, Dirt, you can only choose one. Here's your mail sack question for you. You can pick one sport to watch the rest of your life. It's college football. It's not even close. 2, 3, and 4 would be a tough, like my Mount Rushmore of four sports would be a difficult thing to path out. But I would easily choose college football. And so spring ball is a way to get a glimpse into how your team's looking in the next year. But there are limitations on what you're going to see when you're splitting up your roster. You're playing ones and twos against other ones and twos. And you're scrimmaging against a team which, by that point, you know the offense in and out.
Yeah.
Like, you know the tendencies. And so you don't really get a true look. And this potentially becoming a trend in spring football, not only is it going to make more money for universities, not only are fans going to be huge winners in this. If I tell you there's a spring game involved and it's not an inter-squad scrimmage, but instead somebody's coming to your campus to play a game, that generates an interest from the fan base. It generates a local TV money. It just, to me, it's a win-win-win, and it checks every single box necessary. So the only thing that's left is either the NCAA to get in the way and be stupid, or Colorado and Syracuse to just say, you know what, you got no teeth left. We're going to go ahead and do this. But they have filed the paperwork with the NCAA to request playing the game. It would be on April 19th. I don't know how they would sell it. I don't know how it would air, but I know a network would pick it up. And you know what? I'd watch every single second of it.
You would get me more inclined to watch a spring game in that fashion.
If this was the game, instead of inter-squad
glorified scrimmages and
totally fair.
Whatever.
I get it. It's not for everybody.
Okay.
Not for everybody. Totally understand it. It's like fan appreciation night for the Blazers or whatever they do. The fan, you know, where they do their, you know, little preseason thing where get everybody excited.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those kind of things, right? It's like watching a spring training game. It's not for everybody. But you get an actual game against an actual opponent. To me, there's something there, and I would hope that this would become the trend.
And I would
where you start reaching out to other schools and doing this.
The other piece of it too is with all of the coaching turnover that goes on regularly. Like if you have new coordinators, boy, the
giving them a chance to call
to
a game,
actually call a game,
yes,
put the call sheet together, go through all of those things, and it doesn't count.
Yes. Doesn't matter. Let's try this.
How important is that dress rehearsal?
Well, and I would also add, because you brought this up last time we talked about it, of you can't just have it be at one site. Like, every school should have the opportunity to host this for their fans. And so I would love to get to the point where you expand it out, and it's a two-week thing where you don't, I would assume, the same team, where essentially
you go back and forth.
Week of practice, and then you play a game at one site, and then you fly, and then you go play a game at the other site. And that's also a dress rehearsal for travel and staying at a hotel. And, hey, what to expect when you go on the road? Like, there's so many young guys who
coaches find out who his knuckleheads are going
to
be.
Who's going to be in trouble? Like, okay, we got to keep an eye on this guy when we go to this city because he's going to do something bad. So, I don't know. This to me makes way too much sense that maybe it won't end up happening because it's the NCAA, but it seems like there's actual momentum that Colorado and Syracuse will be playing a spring game against each other on April 19th.
Let's hope so.
Let's hope so, man. I can't wait. And
also, I want to see you in those sunglasses.
I will buy the I will buy. But now, what are they called? Do you know what Deion sunglasses are called?
I forgot what the company is.
Is he just like the voice of it, or are they actually his sunglasses?
No, I think somebody else, I think there's an actual company that makes them. Now, he might have bought into the company, but there's an actual manufacturer.
I'm seeing official Prime 21 sunglasses.
Yeah.
Let's see how much these things cost. Because I said, if he does this, I will. Yeah. Oh, God.
I mean, if you grew a mullet, you would be Kenny Powers. It would be ridiculous.
I mean, these are $89 sunglasses.
Well, they usually say Like, you spend money on nice sunglasses, you never lose them. Like, my Ray-Bans I've had for
never lost them
15 years now.
Never lost
I've almost lost them a couple of times. I've left them in a cab in Vegas and somewhere else, and I've always managed to hunt them down.
That's one of those things that I have a really hard time bringing myself spending money on.
Yeah, I spent like $150 on those bad boys, expensive. But I've had them for like 15 years.
Yeah, yeah, but this, yeah. I feel like I'm the opposite. I'm going to put them in my back pocket and sit down one time.
You spend $20 on a pair of sunglasses, you don't care.
You
it's
forget
a disposable
them.
Item at that point. Oh, I lost my sunglasses. Think about how many $15, $20 pairs of sunglasses you buy.
Oh, a million of them. I've been through so many of them.
You buy these. Yeah.
These are $89.
You're not letting those out of your sight.
$89. Woo, buddy. Well, hey, you make this happen, Prime, I'll buy some Prime sunglasses, all right? I'm a man of my word. Just like I still wear my blessed in the crotch Myers Leonard shorts.
That's right.
After I said if he goes off in the Western Conference Finals, I will buy a pair of blessed shorts. I still own those shorts. I will buy my Prime sunglasses. Make it happen, Dion. Let's get to the mail sack. Your questions welcome. 503-864-6326. Send them in. We'll answer them next on The Fan. The people are disagreeing with you, Jason Swigard.
What are they disagreeing with?
Your sunglasses take. Somebody said every expensive pair of Oakleys I have, I've lost in the Willamette River boating. My cheap ones, I still have a pair in every car.
No,
another one false. You lose the expensive ones, you keep the cheap ones.
No, quite the opposite.
Seem to be an anomaly here.
I've had a number of cheap ones where you're not paying attention. It's not cognizant, but you got to replace, $150, $200 pair of Ray-Bans. You're like, okay, where'd those bad boys go?
Where the hell are those sunglasses?
Yes.
And what happened to them? Another one, please don't feed that man any more money or, more importantly, more ego than he already gets more commercials and does more commercials than he's already in. Don't buy the sunglasses, dirt, for the love of God. Look, I appreciate you thinking that I have that impact. I don't think me buying a pair of Deion Sanders sunglasses is going to boost that man's ego than it's already been boosted.
No, it's healthy.
I think his ego is doing just fine. And I don't think another pair of sunglasses sold in Portland, Oregon will impact that in any way, shape, or form. But I do appreciate the sentiment. I'm a man of my word. I said if he makes this happen, I'll either buy the sweatshirt or the sunglasses, and I refuse to wear a Colorado sweatshirt. I'm going to die on that hill. I'm not walking around in a Colorado sweatshirt. Not happening. Let's get to the mail sack, shall we? You ready for this? Empty
yeah,
the sack.
Let's sack it up.
Mail sack question. Have you guys ever been confronted with conflict and or fought due to something said on the air, whether it be sports, politics, or other opinions? If so, how did you handle it? I'm assuming that means with each other. I've never had a listener threaten to fight me. Although early in my career, I did have a listener tell me they wished my plane would have crashed.
Okay.
So that was a delightful welcome to the radio industry.
No, I don't think we've had any.
Not to that level, no. I mean, we got days where we can't stand each other. I mean, just when you work closely with people, you know, it's like living with somebody. This isn't like a normal. We function in our own little ecosystem here in this building where we're a part of a company, but we're kind of in our own little bubble and we're, you know, next to each other and talking to each other and dealing with each other every day. We don't just come in and sit in a cubicle and then be like, hey, I need to Zoom with you in 2 hours. It's, So when you work that closely with people, obviously you're going to, grind each other's gears from time to time, but never to that point, no. Mail sack question, you have to give up a food or beverage that is one of your favorites for a month. What would you choose? So I'm assuming food or beverage. So would you rather give up a favorite beverage or a favorite food for a month? I go food.
I don't know.
I don't really have a favorite beverage.
I don't have one thing where if I don't have it,
you'll be okay.
Where like I can't function,
can't survive without it.
I drink coffee in the morning, but if you said you got to give up coffee, I would go have breakfast tea.
Right, you find a way to.
I'll get my caffeine.
Get an energy drink. Get a Red Bull. Get something else.
You can't have bourbon. Okay, I'll have gin or I'll drink wine. It's like, what?
Right.
Now, if you tell me I can't have booze, now that's a different.
You got to go dry for a month.
That's, now I had to do that when I was doing my tooth thing.
You did.
And
you were sober, cranky swag.
So, yeah. No, we just, I was like, okay. It was more as like, nope, I can't screw this up because one, it's painful. Two, it's costing me an S ton of money and I can't have it not work.
Nope, not doing this one again. Mail sack, do you see a day where college football evolves to be a full minor league, meaning no age restrictions? Anyone who doesn't make an NFL team can return and no class requirement to play. You just play football. One, I would say there's already a no class requirement. Anybody who's ever attended a university would tell you the guys, a lot of them don't go to class. Oregon State's best football season ever were guys who were on campus for like 6 weeks. And then
it's
they
actually
gone, like,
they are the requirements there are more stringent than they have been in quite some time with that graduation scale that they go through. You need to be, I don't think so. As long as it's affiliated with universities and the universities want to reap all of the rewards that come along with it, there will be some sort of minimal school affiliation. Like you have to be enrolled and you have to be on track to graduate in 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, people have been trying to do the amateur, you know, minor league football thing for a long time to try and make it happen. I don't think it'll ever take root. Nope. It's college football. The system isn't perfect. I understand a lot of people don't like it, but I don't think we're that far off the guardrails where it just becomes full on. The Clemson Tigers are now the AAA affiliate of the New York Giants. Like, that will never happen.
If there was value in it for the NFL, they would have already done it by now.
Yeah, they would have tried to pull
either
it off.
They
tried NFL Europe. I mean, they've tried their hands at this stuff over the years. It just doesn't work for them.
It doesn't pencil out.
Because college football is your minor leagues. That's just, it already is, and so you don't need the affiliate. It will never get to that point. Mail sack question, Dirt. We know your feelings on the current state of the Blazers, but what about your Giants? Feels like they are also just hovering around the 500 level. Without a plan, buddy, would you like me to take up the final 36 minutes of the show? Because I can do that if you would like. I try and be very careful of this because sometimes I'll listen to shows and people talk about their individual fandoms, and I understand that does not impact, like a lot of people don't care about the Giants here. If you want me to rant about the San Francisco Giants, I could do it for hours and hours and hours.
I think this is more about...
They are a rudderless ship. They have been a rudderless ship for basically 10 years. They have not known what path they want to go. They won their last World Series in 2014. 3-5 was one of the most incredible runs I've ever been on as a sports fan.
Yeah.
And they chased it for the years after that. They extended guys who were part of their championship, which I understand is a very normal thing to do. Reward your guys. They held on too long. And in the aftermath of that, they've never been fully willing to go through a rebuild. They're very similar, I think. You know, I understand the comparison because I think there's, outside of the Blazers not winning anything that matters in 50 years, the Giants actually have. I think there's that fear in the market of, like, could we really go through a tank? Like, can we really go through a full rebuild, and what will it do to our fan base?
I don't see Giants fans doing what the Astros did a few years back.
No, I don't think they're, and they've never been willing to do it. I've always advocated that they should, and they've been in this weird gray area where we'll bring in a couple of veterans, but we got these prospects we're excited for, but then we won't bring up our prospects because we got a veteran playing this position, and it's just, Nick Ahmed started at shortstop for them last year on opening day, and one of their best prospects was a shortstop. Who I don't know if he's ever going to pan out to be anything in the big leagues. You know what I know about Nick Ahmed? He sucks. He can't hit. He's a good fielder.
They got rid of him.
They got rid of him, and the Giants picked him. They let Brandon Crawford walk, and they're like, let's pivot to Nick Ahmed. That's going to work out well for us. Look, they're going to be fine this year. I mean, they have a chance to make one of the wild card spots because half the damn league makes the playoffs now, which I am not opposed to, but it also doesn't have a badge of honor like it used to when you used to make the playoffs. You might be the seventh team in the National League.
Well, as long as the rules are in place for the Dodgers to do what the Dodgers
I mean, they're going to dominate
doing,
the division. Yeah.
Then you need to have additional wild card spots.
I want to keep going on this. I'm going to lose my mind here. I'm going to blow a little bit of a top.
As much fun as I am having and watching my Dodgers be the Dodgers, but the way that the financial structure of the entire league is set up, if you are going to have teams that are allowed to do what the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Mets and whoever else have done it, the Rangers did this at one point. They went and paid everybody in the free agent market.
Yeah.
If you're going to allow teams to do that where they can stack the deck so much in their favors, then you have to have these wild card positions to at least keep teams.
Oh, without a doubt.
Their
I'm
fan
totally
bases,
on board with
because
that.
Come July, even if you're above 500, but you're 19 games out of first place, what's the point?
Yeah, I'm 100% in agreement with that. You got to keep your fan bases intrigued. Making the playoffs to me is not as meaningful of an accomplishment, I guess, as it used to be.
No, it's not the way it used to be.
It's like you used to win a division or to be one wild card spot and make it in.
You got
to
keep your fans from checking out
at
the All-Star break.
No doubt about it. The other big thing that they've done, and look what you did, listener, you got me going. The other thing that they hired a nerd from the Dodgers to run their team. He's an analytical nerd who was making the calls on lineups every single game. And I cannot even begin. You want me to do a 3-hour radio show on this? I'll do it. The idea of like matchup lineups and openers and how it has just killed the sport for me as a fan.
Yeah.
I can't even begin to tell you how unwatchable that crap is for me. You give me an opener for three of the five games in that week, and it's not even a starting pitcher. And oh, by the way, half your lineup starts on games against lefties and half your lineup starts in games against righties, and you don't have any household names anymore like you used to. This guy's your leadoff hitter. This guy's your number two hitter. This guy's the face of your franchise. No, I got a different leadoff hitter every game because he hits 10 points higher against left-handed pitching. It drives me nuts, man. So get the nerds out of baseball. The Giants have had far too many of them. I love hiring Buster Posey. He's now their general manager.
There you go.
You got a legend back calling the shots.
You need the nerds to go in the scouting department.
Have the nerds because, in the scouting. Yes. That's fine. I just get them out of lineups. Get them out of analytics. Like, yeah, I can't stand
managers.
It, man. That's what their job. He ran Bruce Bochy out of town, which, you know, that turned out to be a great call.
Yeah.
So I like that Posey's back. Ownership situation sucks. That's how I feel about the Giants. Look what you did. Mel Sack, if you had to get into name-dropping competition with other radio hosts, ooh, what's the biggest name that you've been able to interview?
Ooh.
This is a hard question to ask me because I forgot what I had for lunch yesterday. And Sprague will do this quite often where he's like, hey, remember we had him on the show? I'll be like, what? We did? Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I'll give you the ones that stick out the most in my mind. We were talking about the situation a little bit earlier in the show. Probably the coolest one for me for like Little Dirt was when we had Cliff Robinson in studio for like an hour. That was a couple of years ago before he passed away. Couldn't have been a nicer guy. Growing up in Portland with the headband as I played basketball in my driveway, Cliff Robinson was my icon. And so locally, that one was great. We've had a lot of comedians in, some of them nice, some of them not nice. Bob Saget was awesome.
Yes.
Couldn't have been a nicer dude. Really fun to talk to. Down-to-earth guy, RIP Bob Saget. But I'm really bad with this stuff because I forget. There's going to be names out there. That, we've been doing this for 10 years.
Yeah,
and
no.
Forget names.
And I mean, I go back to when I was producing Primetime. We got to interview Arnold Palmer. So I got
to shake his hand
and escort him over to where we were. When Peter tried to revive the old Fred Meyer challenge, the Umpqua Bank challenge, we had Roy Jones Jr. in studio.
I remember
when
that
fight was here in Portland. That was pretty cool. Darius Rucker came into the studio when he was just crossing over, going solo with his country stuff. He was in at the Wolf. And we know he's a ginormous sports fan.
Huge sports fan, yeah.
And so he came down and got him to sing along in studio with this Burger King commercial. That's maybe one of the highlights of primetime ever. We're in
ever.
There. And we didn't ask him to sing, or he's like, he's not going to sing or whatever. It's like, that's fine. But we played the commercial, and he kind of started
did the jingle along.
Humming along at the end of it with everybody.
You do this long enough, you run into some cool people. My list is not as good as some other ones. That list just blew mine out of the water. But still fun nonetheless. Fun memories. Two more quick ones here. Do you have a song that you immediately skip when it comes on? Mine are any version of Fast Car. Whoa, really? Red Red Wine and Landslide. Not a landslide guy.
Not a landslide guy.
Fast Car. How do you skip Fast? Okay.
He does not like alto female singers, apparently.
Evidently not. Red, Red Wine, I'm okay if you want to skip that. I mean, I'm not anti-Red, Red Wine.
Well, which, that's I mean, it's a Neil twister. Diamond song.
Initially,
so
it
it's
is.
It's hard to skip that one.
I don't think I have a song that
anything
I skip.
Anything by Taylor Swift. It's just getting booted.
Immediately. Not a single Taylor
nope.
Swift song that you like.
No.
How much of her catalog have you actually listened to?
More than I would care to because they play it a ton. There's oftentimes some Taylor Swift going on in between innings at Hops games.
I could see that.
And I think
she's a big deal.
I think Friendship Bracelet Day is going to be one of our promotions again.
I mean,
it was a big success last year.
How do you
and,
not?
Ride the wave. So, yes. So,
yeah, I can't really speak to her catalog. I have not listened to a Taylor Swift song in a long time. I know some of her main hits, but I don't ever delve into Taylor Swift's catalog outside of her early country days. That's all I got.
You'll probably get me to skip a Coldplay song. I'm not a giant Coldplay guy.
That's a good one. U2 is that way for me. I don't know why. I'm anti-U2.
U2's grown on me over the years.
Have they over the years?
Yeah.
Last one. Mail Sack, you have to pick one or the other. Trapped in an elevator for 48 hours after a poorly officiated game. With Dan Hurley or Mick Cronin?
Dan Hurley.
Not even close. Dan Hurley.
Dan will make me laugh.
Yes.
Mick will not make me laugh.
No. I actually just genuinely don't like Mick Cronin. Dan Hurley's a douche, and I get it, but I also kind of like his douche.
Dan will, but you can crack a joke. Like, Dan will tell a funny story after a while.
It'll
or
calm down. 48 it'll calm hours down, in.
Or he's, yeah. or, yeah.
It'll be
fun. Mick Cronin's just cranky.
There you go. Belzac, every Tuesday at 8:15. The people not happy that you're besmirching Taylor Swift.
I realize I'm on an island, but I've planted my flag on that island.
I will say this, and this is the kind of the way of the beehive, too. Like, that level of fandom makes me really uncomfortable. Like, crying at the thought of or sight of seeing somebody.
Yeah, I know.
Is really weird to me.
I
have a lot of fandoms in my life. I like, outside of winning a championship, that's different, yeah. I guess, than so just seeing her sing a random song. I don't know. Also, why are we not doing 3 hours of golf and hockey? What's up, Dirt? There's no Sprague today. I was tempted. Maybe tomorrow.
Maybe tomorrow.
Giants golf and hockey for 3 hours? What
we
do you
can
think?
Do a little Stanley Cup preview, do some Masters preview.
Let's go. Hey, right around the corner. The commercials
we'll
are picking
recap,
up, baby.
The Oregon Ducks women's golf team ranked number 3 in the country,
they might
by
win a
the way.
They
were
title,
in
you tell
first
me.
Place. They're playing the Charles Schwab Women's Collegiate Invitational.
Look at us bringing
out
home
of
another
Colonial.
Natty. They call us Natty U, baby. That's all we do.
There you go.
That's all we do. That is the mail sack. I love the segment. Let's get to kudos to this guy, the math got more difficult, and what is ahead? That is next. Well, the math got a little bit tougher last night. Get to that in a moment. One more leftover mail sack question. I did enjoy the people saying they cried seeing us at A&A on Friday. Well, thank you. It's totally normal to cry over your local radio bros.
Oh, like, yeah. I just thought maybe you guys smelled like onions.
Yeah. I mean, I'd cry if I saw me too.
Oh my God, when I'm talking, you're not talking.
Somebody said, mail sack, you have to pee in a front yard after a hard night out with the boys.
Yeah.
Knowing you will get caught on a security camera.
I don't care.
Your choices are Dan Lanning or Joe Cronin's front yard. Who do you pee in? Who would you rather you see you taking a leak on their front yard? Dan Lanning or Joe Cronin? Who would have a better sense of humor about that?
Lanning.
I think so, too. Although I don't know much about Joe Cronin, and, you know, Lanning seems like the kind of guy that will cut loose when he's, I've heard stories, and we've had people who go to golf tournaments with him. He has fun. He's got there's another side of him that's outside of football season, Dan Lanning. And I'm not saying that Joe Cronin doesn't have that side. I just don't know Joe Cronin well enough to speak to that side. I think I would lean Dan Lanning there if I'm taking a leak in that yard. I do want to give this guy a major tip of the cap, because I got to be honest with you. If I were in his shoes, this would have been an absolute no for me, Bob. Last night, Dallas played. They beat the Brooklyn Nets, who are a tanking team in the NBA. Dallas has now won, I believe, back-to-back games after not thinking maybe they would win another one the rest of the way. They beat Brooklyn. Now, they're in New York tonight, so we'll see how that goes. The Knicks have not been playing good ball as of late. They are a 10.5-point favorite, so we'll see how it all transpires. But last night, and this was reported in the afternoon that he was going to be back, and I know it was trending in that direction. Anthony Davis returned to the lineup. They had, as of yesterday, I believe they had 11 games to go in the regular season. Now they have 10 games to go in the regular season. This guy's coming off a late season injury. Kyrie Irving's out with an ACL. They're essentially down to 8 guys on their team. The chances of them making the playoffs still relatively slim, considering how handicapped their lineup is right now. And he still decided to return. Like, for a guy who we have criticized for, you know, is he soft? Does he play enough minutes? You know, does he bring it every night?
He's like, just apparently fragile.
He's just very fragile. And after the game, he was asked about this. He was like, there was never a doubt in my mind I would come back. Yeah. I'm in the locker room after every game, and these guys are gassed. They're playing with an 8-man rotation. Everybody's running themselves into the ground to the point of exhaustion. I got to help my guys out.
I think secretly he would love to get a run at his former team in the playoffs.
Oh,
somehow. That's
the theory there. Okay. I mean, it does. Look, it changes the match for Dallas. I don't know if it'll be enough to withstand Phoenix right now. Let me pull up the standings. I believe them and Phoenix are tied for the 10 seed. They are technically tied. I think Phoenix has the tiebreaker. So they're the 10, Dallas just outside of it. They're both 35 and 37.
Yeah.
But Anthony Davis being back for Dallas, he's on a minutes restriction. He didn't do a ton last night. it changes their formula for the final 10 games of the regular season. Without him,
by the way, the Lakers not a lot of wins now there. Stinking it up. They were a close second for stinking it
LeBron
up.
LeBron has been out. They've lost three in a row. They're 3-7 in their last
LeBron's
10.
LeBron's been back for the last two.
Well, there you go. Shows how much I've been watching the Lakers the last week. So they're now down to the 4 seed. Although, to be fair, really, I mean, Houston's kind of separated themselves for the two. Everybody else jumped, you know, Denver, L.A., Memphis. And technically, Golden State. I mean, they're all jumbled together.
To fall back, it's
they could be the 6 seed. They could be the 3 seed.
There's,
I mean, there's
four
a lot of
games separating third from eighth. Right,
yes,
now
that's how tight and compact things are. It was a tough. I mean, if you're rooting for the Blazers to make the play-in, which I don't know why you would, but they exist. Phoenix won last night over Milwaukee. Booker hit a late shot.
Yep.
Dallas found a way to beat Brooklyn, who yes is tanking. And the math, here's where the math stands right now. You have 10 games to go in the regular season.
Yes.
Starting tonight for Portland, and we'll get to that here in the final segment of the show. 10 games to go in the regular season, you are 3 games out, and you do not hold, according to Sean Hyken, I saw this last night, you do not hold the tiebreaker over Phoenix or Dallas.
Right,
so you are essentially 4 games out
right.
with 10 games to go.
And you're tied with Spurs now.
Can I repeat my plead to turn the water off? Is it too late to turn the water off in the final 10 games?
Never too late to turn the water
off. It's never too late. Do you realize, as you just pointed out astutely, Mr. Jason Swigard, you were tied with the San Antonio Spurs, who
yes.
have won 3 in a row. How? I don't know. They've won 3 games in a row. You are mathematically within reaching distance of San Antonio, which would give you top 10 odds, and Miami. As Jimmy Butler returns to Miami tonight, we'll get to that in the final yep. segment as well. Like, they're within reachable distance with 10 games to go. You could have the 8th best odds in the NBA draft lottery. It's not the top 5 odds that I wanted. It's not the chance that I wanted. But it's sure as hell better than the 12th best odds or the 11th best odds. There are 10 games to go. You have to make up 4 games on Phoenix and Dallas. Can we please shut the water off?
They are going on the road after tonight.
They are. I know the schedule's easy. Tonight's a big one. Let's get to that to close up tonight. They got Cleveland in town, and of course, Cleveland, thanks for nothing, Cavs. We'll close up their necks on the Fan. Great song for a nearly 80-degree day. Hopefully you're going to enjoy some sunshine. What are you saying to the Fan text line? Dirt, why would we do that? Let's say screw it and go for it. And we'll do crap with those odds anyways. Go for what? What are we going for? The play-in? Is that what we're going for? Playing?
I don't know.
Even if you get the play-in, then you go to the playoffs, you lose your first round pick. Like I don't understand.
I like you. It's just like, okay, I don't need Jeremy Grant to come back. I don't need, no. you know, just let the
anybody
kids
with a pulse shouldn't play the last 10 games. If I was calling the shots, the starting lineup would be so horrific you would be appalled, but it would get the job done in the final 10 games of the season. This is what I don't like. What are we going for? He said we don't do anything with those odds anyways. Well, one, we don't know that. The last time Portland got the number one overall pick,
they were 6th or 7th, I think.
They were, I believe, 7th worst odds. So
somewhere around there.
I don't know. Probably not going to get the number one pick. That's fine. Going to the playoffs and losing your first round pick? No, thank you, man. And you're also not, the idea of making up 4 games in the standings with 10 games to go.
No.
Them losing to Boston and then Dallas winning back-to-back games might have been the final nail in the
coffin. If you watched the Phoenix game last night, that is a Suns squad that right now, even though they don't, you know,
you might end up being right there. I think
a great roster, but Booker.
And the schedule's challenging, but they're winning. They beat the Cavs. They beat Milwaukee. Yeah. They're winning these games, and we thought they might
Booker
lose.
Booker and Durant do not appear to have the mentality of we're just playing it out.
No, they do
like,
not.
Like, if they were, you know, full intent, one, I don't think Durant would have a made-up injury.
Yes, if they were closing up shop.
But no, they do not act like a squad that's ready to cash it in 1-2-3 Cancun.
So they do not play tonight, Phoenix that is. Dallas is on the road in New York.
Yeah, this will be, because this is a back-to-back.
This is a huge, I mean, if Dallas
the
wins
Knicks
tonight
are cranky.
And Portland loses, and we'll get to that game in a moment because they're at home against Cleveland, like that's.
If there was one team in front of
done.
Portland, but you got two in
two.
Front of you.
And both of them, you got to make up 4 games in 10.
Yeah.
So just play the math out. Let's say Phoenix goes 5-5 and Dallas goes 4-6.
Yeah.
You would at best have to
nine
be 8-2 or 9-1 in your final 10 games. Are you going to go 8-2 or 9-1 in your last 10 games? I don't care what your schedule looks like. Portland is in action tonight. They get Cleveland and
no spy to Mitchell.
Thanks for nothing.
He's got a little
Cleveland.
Maintenance on a
sure he does.
On a sore groin.
Sure he does. Didn't play him when we were in Cleveland last time either. Almost won that damn game. And now he's out again tonight. Can we stop with the good players sitting out against the Blazers? No Ja Morant in the last week. Boston sat half their damn lineup and still won the game by 15. No Jokic on Friday. Thanks for nothing, Denver. And now no Donovan Mitchell tonight. We just have become that team in the second half of the year that nobody wants to play their stars against because whatever. So no Donovan Mitchell. I digress. That's going on tonight. Enjoy the sunshine, everybody.
Yeah. Come out to Hillsboro Ballpark. Take in some nice college baseball. Your sixth-ranked Oregon State Beavers taking on UW.
Do we have a Civil War baseball series this year?
Yes, it's the same weekend as the spring football game.
Oh, in Eugene or Corvallis?
Eugene.
Oh, baby.
It's a doubleheader that day.
So I'm imagining they're going to go spring game.
After the spring game, yeah.
Ooh, that's fun. I like that. Now we're talking, baby.
That might get you down to Eugene.
That, yeah.
Might.
Yeah, might. I got to see what else is going on. Masters is done. Yeah, it's 26. That's done. There's probably nothing else going on. I might go down for that. That'd be a fun little day.
You got the first round of the NBA playoffs, which don't involve
cares.
The Blazers.
Nobody cares. Stanley Cup playoffs. Now you're talking. First round. What, I'm going to miss, you know, OKC
you
versus
can DVR
Sacramento.
That for a
fine.
Day.
Be fine. Well, there you go. It was fun today. Sprague will be out the next 2 days, back on Friday. I got some stuff left over in the holster, including all the doom and gloom. The numbers are now in, and I want to talk about that on the show tomorrow. Rick Riz joined us for the Daily Ticker, so go check that out. 1080 The Fan, at Turton Sprague, and at 1080 The Fan on Twitter. Thanks, everybody, for watching on YouTube. Like the video, subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so yet. Tomorrow's baseball opening day eve, so we'll have some fun with that as well. Thanks so much for being a part of our Tuesday. Enjoy all that sunshine today. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Colin is next, listening to 1080 The Fan.